Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary hosted by me, Spencer, the Rat Saver Parks. That's my nickname, the Rat Saver. Why is that? Well, because I had an interesting experience this morning. I got to work and I went to put something in the recycling bin, and I just notice to my left, there is a regular dumpster and the doors are open, the doors, and I see a something scurry to the top and it can't reach the top. I thought it was a squirrel. I was like, what is that? And then it tried again and I was like, I was about to walk away. And then I was like, well, if it's stuck, it needs to get out. And so I look into the dumpster and there's a couple of bags of garbage and there are at least three waterlogged, tired rats. And some of you would be like, nope, I'm out. And I was like, nope, we got to save these little buggers. And so I look around and I see a chair. There's a chair over there that has been sitting out there for probably months. And so I get the chair. I have a video because, of course, for my own sake, I wanted to record a video of this. And you're going to get to see it right now. Tilt it the right way. I'm going to play this for real. I put the chair in there, gingerly. I had to set it very gingerly down because I didn't know if there were any rats hiding under where I was putting it. And within seconds, the rats come out from their hiding places and they're checking it out. What is this thing? They needed a step to get out. There are the three. The one of them just crawls. I thought he was going to jump onto there. Just walks up and goes out the back corner. And then the next one, a little bit bigger one, he jumps up. And I'm like, where'd the third one go? There's a third one. Where is he? And then we pan up. And oh my gosh, there is a big rat coming right towards me. I'm pretty sure that was that rat's way of saying thank you. Because I don't think that they would normally go towards the big, scary human. And then I was like, well, where's the other one? And so I walked away for a minute to go look at the beautiful sunrise. And then I went back. I heard some scurrying. I went back. And, oh, we got to wait a little bit until the next one comes. But, oh, yes, there's the little one. Trying to get to onto the chair. I'm gonna hold this up briefly so we can have a sync point. Oh yes, the cute little rat.
Yeah, you can do it.
Oh boy. Come on. And then finally, oh, it climbed up the back of the chair. All of a sudden, boop, it pokes its head out.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, don't go that way. Scurry that way. Oh, it made me so happy to be able to save these little buggers. Yeah, they were, they looked very wet and tired. On that note, this is going to be the rat episode. No. Although, all the words start with flat, which rhymes with rat. And, maybe we'll see some bats as well. All right, let's finally get into the words. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be that look at what I did kind of guy. But no, it feels good to save some animals. All right, the first word in this episode is the first form of the word flatbed. F-L-A-T-B-E-D. Boop, 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 boop. Adjective from 1892. Having a horizontal bed on which the work rests. The work rests? Sometimes work needs a rest. The work gets tired. We have examples. A flatbed. I was sort of reading ahead and I got confused with my letters. A flatbed printing press. That's kind of hard to say. A flatbed printing press. A flatbed printing press. Also, a flatbed scanner. It has a flat thing so you can do stuff on it. Just flat. Scanners, Xerox machines, they're all flatbed pretty much. Oh, we got to make a sound effect. What sound effect are we going to make today? Oh, wait, what are we going to do? We're going to go. Maybe that's the sound of a rat. Okay, now we have the second form of flatbed. Noun from 1944. I definitely appreciate it when my bed is flat. I don't like the bed that is shaped like mountains. Those are some weird beds. Flat bed, that's good. Although I am tempted to get one of those beds that folds so I can, my top half can lean forward a little bit and my knees can bend, you know, like those infomercials we saw when we were kids. I think I need to, was it Posturepedic? I think I need one of those beds. That's not a flat bed. So this one from 1944 is a motor truck or trailer with a body in the form of a platform or shallow box. Yeah, this, I imagine this is typically the thing that you're hitching to your truck. Maybe there's other forms, but yeah, it's just a big, you know, kind of a car-sized flat thing with maybe some little walls around it, and you can strap stuff down and transport things. Hook up the flatbed. Why? Well, because I got to transport this huge flatbed scanner. Next is flatboat. One word, noun from 1653. This is a boat with a flat bottom and square ends used for transportation of bulky freight, especially in shallow waters. It's just like a boxy boat. That's what it is. Moving stuff. It's a flat boat. I got nothing. Now we have flat car. Flat bed, flat boat, flat car. Noun from 1861. A railroad freight car without permanent raised sides, ends, or covering. So it's just the flat. That's it. There's nothing else. It's just a flat piece of board, wood, metal, something used for transport and stuff for freight on a train. Next is flat-coated retriever. I don't think my sound effect is a rat sound. Maybe it's more of a squirrel sound. I don't know. Flat-coated retriever is three words. Flat-coated has a hyphen. Noun from 1929. Any of an English breed, maybe we should say this with a little bit of a terrible English accent. Any of an English breed of medium-sized sporting dogs that have a dense, smooth, black, or liver-coated coat. Should we post a picture of a flat-coated retriever? Why are they flat-coated? Dense, smooth, black, or liver-colored coat. But I don't know why it's flat-coated. Why are you flat-coated, retriever? Should we quick look up a picture of a, flat-coated, here we go, retriever pops up. Ooh, it's a beautiful, black, shiny-coated dog, but I don't know why flat. Maybe some of you know. Anyway, let's move on to, oh, it's a good one, flat earther. And I was really thinking about having a flat earther on this episode, but then I said no. Flat earther is two words with a hyphen. Flat earthist is another way, which I don't think I've ever heard of. This is a noun from all the way from 1926. 1926, 99 years ago at the time of recording and airing, people have been thinking that science is not real. But science is real. This is a person who believes that the planet Earth is flat. Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm sorry. The Earth is not flat. Could do all the experiments you want. Shoot yourself up into space to see it for yourself. There are easy experiments that you can do at home. I'm going to put some links in the show notes for just information about this. Why is the Earth not flat? What are the things that you can do to prove it to yourself that the Earth is not flat? This is an easy, easy concept. If you think that the Earth is flat, do you think that all of the other things in the sky, in the universe, are also flat? How does that make any sense? We have literal footage of the sun spinning, other planets and things spinning. If the Earth were flat, when the eclipse happens, which one I can't remember, I think I have to sneeze. When the eclipse happens and the shadow of the Earth is put onto the moon, I had a dream about the moon a couple nights ago. When the shadow of the Earth is put onto the moon, if it were flat, it would be some weird shape depending on the angle of the flat Earth. But it's a sphere, and so it projects a perfect circle every time. Bump the mic, sorry. Oh, all right, yeah, I'm not going to go on further about this, but I'm sure, you know, somebody smarter than me could talk for a while about how and why the Earth is not flat. Come on. Are we still thinking this? Are there what's the flat earther situation like these days? I feel like I'm not hearing as much about it now. We got it because we got a whole other, so many other problems to deal with. But yeah, it's a thing, and it's been a thing for at least 100 years. How hard is this to believe? It's not even a belief. How hard is this to realize, to understand, to learn from science? Science. Now we have flatfish. One word, noun, from 1710. This is any of an order of marine, typical bottom-dwelling bony fishes that as adults swim on one side of the laterally compressed body and have both eyes on the upper side. I remember my uncle telling me about fish like this when I was young, 10-ish. And so examples of these fish are halibuts, flounders, turbots or turbos, and soles, S-O-L-E-S. And it's such an interesting thing that happens because they're normal fish, you know, swimming around, doing their thing, eyes on both sides of their body when they're young. But then, as they get older, they somehow transition to such a weird thing that nature does. They transition to going on their side, and their eye moves from one side of their body to the other side, and then they spend most of their time flat on the bottom, looking up, probably around two, and they become this flatfish. It's so strange. We got to post a picture of a flatfish. The order name, by the way, is Heterosomata. It means something, different something. Fascinating fish, these flatfish. They look so goofy, too. Now we have flatfoot. Always so in sense three. Flatfoot. What is the... Okay, so flatfoot, you're emphasizing the first syllable, I think. And then sometimes you can emphasize the second syllable, flat foot. Okay, this is a noun from 1860. Number one, a condition in which the arch of the instep is flattened so that the entire sole rests upon the ground. Your feet are supposed to have an arch in the middle to go up to help with something. I don't know. But some people don't really have so much of an arch. It just goes flat. I think I have a little bit of an arch. I don't think I'm very archy. I'm also not Jughead or Reggie or Veronica or Betty or Moose. Okay, flat foot. We got more. We got number two. A foot affected with flat foot. You got the flat foot. You got the flat foot. Number three, A. Wow, there's a lot of information here. The plural here would be flat foots. Normally, the plural is flat feet, but here for 3A, it's flat foots. And it is slang for, the synonym is police officer, the flatfoots. Why do you call them the flatfoots? Well, it's especially a patrolman walking a regular beat. They're walking around town. You know, they're not motorcycling, they're not biking, they're not driving, they're just walking. So they walk so much, their feet get flat. Can you do that if you walk a lot? Will your feet become flat eventually? I don't know. They're called the flat feet, the flat foots, because they're walking. Also, we have 3B slang again. The synonym is sailor. So for some reason, sailors, people on a boat, are also called flatfoot. Interesting. Let's see. Anything else? No, I think the etymology, I hope the etymology is pretty clear to you. If it's not, ring me up. We'll have a little chat. Or just email. Now we have the first form of flat-footed, two words with a hyphen, adjective from 1601. Number one, affected with flat foot. Sounds like, it is a condition, I guess. It sounds like, I got the flat foot. Oh, I can't go on. Help me. Save me from the flat foot. Okay, affected with flat foot, but broadly, walking with a dragging or shambling gait. I don't think most people with a flat foot, flat feet, are walking with a dragging or shambling gait. But I guess if you have that condition, whatever that specific condition is, then you're called flat-footed. I don't know why. That's a weird one. What is dragging or shambling gait? That seems pretty extreme. Doesn't it? Okay, 2A. Firm and well-balanced on the feet. Well, that is very different from the first one. Firm and well-balanced on the feet. So you're flat foot. I mean, I guess this one seems, just because you're firm and well-balanced on the feet doesn't mean that you have flat feet. I think what they're saying is, you're flat-footed. Your feet are, like, put on the ground very flat and well, and you're balanced and you're not wibbly-wobbly, so you're flat-footed in that way. Okay, I think we got it. Now we have 2B. Free from reservation. The synonym is forthright. As in the example, had an honest flat-footed way of saying a thing. An honest, flat-footed way, a forthright way, free. So you're very honest. That's what this is. Wonder why flat-footed. How did flat-footed get into this type of phrase? An honest, flat-footed way of saying a thing. Just coming right out and say it. I think of Kramer from Seinfeld. He was very forthright about the things he said. No, he had no reservation about holding back. I'm not flat-footed in this way. I hold back, probably. Number three is not ready. The synonym is unprepared. And this is used chiefly in the phrase, catch one flat-footed. You caught them unprepared. They were not prepared to be caught when they were eating the pie. But again, why flat-footed? Are they like, I don't know. It's weird. Give me some info. If I thought about it a little bit longer, I could probably figure it out, but I don't have that time. Number four. Proceeding in a plodding or unimaginative way. The synonym is pedestrian. Now, there are pedestrians who walk, but pedestrian is also used in like a meh way. Unimaginative. Uninteresting, I guess. The example is flat-footed prose. It's plodding, unimaginative. Oh, that prose, that poetry. It's so flat-footed because it's boring and uncreative, and we don't like it. That's the kind of prose that I would write, flat-footed. Again, what's the thing? It seems just walking, plodding, no fanciness to it, no flashiness. I guess that's sort of how we're thinking about it. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, flat-footedly is an adverb, and flat-footedness is also is a noun. It's a noun. It's a noun. It's a noun. It's a noun. Okay, I think then we can go on to these rats are getting cuter. We have the second form of flat-footed, adverb from 1828. Number one, in an open and determined manner. The synonym is flatly, which we'll see, I think, in the next episode. That would have been just the adverb form of the word flat. I assume usually when there's a synonym, that means it gets its own entry, but it doesn't. Nope. So flatly, in an open and determined manner. There's no example, so you're just... Is there one of the examples from before that is similar to this? Open and determined? Well, I would say the one free from reservation. That one's definitely similar. So you're just open. That's it. Number two. Oh, actually, flatly. There was something I remember from the previous one that was sort of similar, like just honest and flat and, yeah, I don't know. We're moving on to number two. With the feet flat on a surface. What's an example of the surface? It could be the ground. So this is literally just standing with your feet on the ground, flat-footed. He danced flat-footed, so he really just danced with his upper part. Okay. Now we have flat hat. Two words with a hyphen. Flat hat. This is an intransitive verb from 1940. It is to fly low in an airplane in a reckless manner. The synonym, ooh, is a good one. It's hedge hop. Flat hatter is a noun. Hedge hop. You are flying low in an airplane in a reckless manner. So flying crazy. You're maybe a daredevil and you're flying low. So you're more likely to hit some people, trees, hedges, maybe hop in the hedges. What's the etymology of that one? Of this one, flat hat. It is from an alleged incident in which a pedestrian's hat was crushed by a low-flying plane. Oh my gosh. Oh, can you hear my tummy a-rumbling? I don't wish this were true because that would be an incredibly scary situation for the person. And also, even more importantly, their hat got flat. And that's the most sad thing from this story. But I just feel like this probably isn't true. I mean, what are the chances that the plane just grazed the person's head and flattened their... I don't know. If you're aware of this alleged story of the Flat Hatter, please let me know. Flat Hat, this is fantastic. Okay. Yeah, but also, don't be flying around in a reckless manner so close to the ground that you could smash a person's head. Flathead, one word, capital F, noun from 1709. Number one, a member of any of several North American Indian peoples that practiced head flattening. I know in Africa there are people who do the head, the sort of cone thing where they wrap the head when they're young, and so it makes kind of a cone shape. And so I guess this in North American Indian peoples, we're doing something where they flatten the head. Now, is this the forehead that was flat, the top of the head that was flat, the back of the head that was flat, all parts? Did they become blockheads? Did they put your head in a cube? I'm not sure. I'm guessing it's just the top. But I find this fascinating. Number two, an American Indian people of Montana. So I guess at least one of those groups was living in Montana. Now, what I find interesting... No, I take that back. Number three is not capitalized. Any of a family of mostly Australian and East Indian marine food fishes that resemble sculpins. I don't know what a sculpin is, but let's see. They're fishes. They're fish that have a flat head, probably. And the family name, let's see if I can say this word, Platycephalidae, or day. Is it day? Platycephalidae. Oh, that was very good. It starts with a P, and there's a PH in the middle. Okay, back to the North American Indian people who practice this flathead. I think I should put a link in the show notes for this group of people. And maybe post a picture on the social media as well, because I think this is something that you might want to see. It's a very visual thing. Should I just look it up right now? Do we have time for that? Let's see. Flathead. Looking for, I guess, Indians? That's the easiest way to bring this up. Bitterroot Salish are a Salish-speaking group of Native Americans, one of three tribes, blah, 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 blah. So they're, yeah, Flathead in Montana. Ooh, there's a painting of that. Okay, so what they're doing, I need to look up more pictures, but what this painting and something else is showing is that their forehead gets very flat and angled. But I don't know. There's all these photos, but I'm not really seeing much. It's more of the drawings that I'm seeing with the flat head. I'm not seeing so much of these photos. They look all very normal in the photos. Interesting. I'm wondering if the drawings were exaggerated. I mean, that must be. That one looks kind of flattish. I don't know. This is very interesting. I'll put a link in the show notes. I'm guessing before we had photography, people were doing this and it was a much more extreme thing. That's why there's these paintings and drawings of it. But the photos, once the photos came around, maybe they weren't doing it as much or as extremely. I think maybe it's gone a little bit out of fashion, probably. All right. Well, that was an interesting tangent there. Okay. What's next? Beep, 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 beep. Now we have flathead catfish. Flathead catfish, two words, noun from 1945. A large yellowish catfish of the central and Gulf states of the U.S. with the sides and back heavily mottled with brown or black. And there is a picture, a drawing of a flathead catfish. And, as far as I could tell, it just looks like a normal catfish. The coloration has all different shades and stuff. I guess the top of the head is pretty flat, so they call it a flathead catfish. Oh, the species name is Pylodictis olivaris. There you go. Flat iron is next. One word, noun from 1743. The synonym is the 2C definition for the word iron. I-R-O-N. It's not iron. We say iron for some reason. One of the strangest words. Flat iron. Okay. You'll wait for that one. Nom, 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 nom. A little tiny rat eating a cherry. Now we have flatland. One word, noun from 1735. Number one, a region in which the land is predominantly flat. And this is usually used in plural. And in the previous episode, we had flats. Same thing. The flatlands. Oh, look at the flatlands. I want to go graze on the grass in the flatlands because I am a donkey. Now we have number two. Land that lacks significant variation in elevation. Yep. It's pretty much the same thing. Maybe a little bit of variation, but not a lot. It might as well be flat. Flatlander is a noun, the one who lives on the flatland. They get amazing views of the sky, sunrise, sunset, storms, all that stuff, because there's nothing to block the view. Ugh. I've seen, photos and time lapses of big old storms and clouds and stuff in the flatlands, the sort of Midwest area of the United States, because it's just flat. So there's just, it's just open. It's very, very beautiful. Okay, one more word for this episode. We have flatlet, F-L-A-T-L-E-T. Noun from 1925. This is British. The synonym is efficiency apartment, which I do kind of remember from the E's. But also, we also sometimes call it a studio apartment here in the American states. And so flatlet, because a flat is an apartment, a one-story apartment, but a flatlet, it's a very, 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 very tiny place to live. Maybe it's one room. Maybe you got your bed in one room, pretty much with your living room and your kitchen, and then maybe the bathroom is its own room, and it's a flat-lit efficiency apartment studio. That's it for that, and now we're going to pick a word of the episode. Today we had rat bed, rat bed, rat boat, rat car, rat-coated retriever, rat earther, rat fish, rat foot, rat footed, rat hat, rat head catfish, rat head ratfish, rat iron, rat land, ratlet. And now I will say them proper. Flat bed, flat bed, flat boat, flat car, flat-coated retriever, flat earther, flat fish, flat foot, flat-footed, flat-footed, flat hat, flat head catfish, flat iron, flat land, and flat lit. I think I must pick flat hat, two words with a hyphen, as the word of the episode. It's the verb. I'm going flat-hatting today. I'm driving my plane all recklessly. Watch out for your hats. I'm going to flatten your hats because I'm flat-hatting. Boo-boo! All right, that was fun. Oh, we sometimes have a lot of fun on this podcast. Sometimes we don't have a lot of fun. Sometimes we have fun. All right, what's the next movie that I watched? Okay, Stop Making Sense. Stop Making Sense. This is a music concert show documentary from 1984, and I had seen the movie box and the cover for years and years, and I never watched it until finally on a plane, the best place to watch a movie, I finally watched it. And, you know, they say that this is like the best concert movie. I don't know why exactly. I think I've heard people say, you know, this band, Talking Heads, that's the band, that they were at their peak. They do some really fun, interesting stuff with the set and the lighting, and the songs are great, and the people are great, obviously. And so it's just a very fun, entertaining way to show a concert. I don't know if this was their normal tour, because basically the band builds on as the show is progressing, and then they do a lot of crazy stuff with the lighting. So I don't know if this was their normal show or if they just did it for the film or what. But yeah, it's just a concert. That's all it is. I guess I thought there would be a little bit more to it, but it's super fun, and the music is great, and they just are clearly having so much fun. And there's this weird stuff, and I love it. I don't know if I've seen a lot of concert movie documentaries, but yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. Okay, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for checking it out. This has been Spencer the Rat Saver dispensing information. Goodbye.